We're going to continue over in Romans in chapter 12. Paul got us here by setting forth some great doctrinal truths that began with man's total hereditary depravity. Dead in trespasses and sin, hopeless, helpless, didn't matter who he was. The barbarian, the cultured Gentile, the Jew, and no hope. But God made provision for his people in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. Paul showed how that carried through throughout history. Brought us here eventually to chapter 12, setting forth some practical applications of those things. How to put, you know, how we ought then to live in the light of them, if you will. And as we come through these things that Paul set forth, how we ought to relate to one another within the Lord's church, how we ought to relate to folks really outside the Lord's church, even how we ought to relate to those who would make themselves our enemies. And we're down to verse 14 now. And these are some difficult sayings. These are some hard sayings. You know, maybe not for some folks. You know, but for some of us, these are hard sayings. These are difficult sayings. These go contrary to, you know, our inclination. And I suppose that's why it's good that, you know, we preach through the Bible or preach through a book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because can't skip nothing. Well, if I skipped over verse 14, you know, I'd probably ask me next week, well, why didn't you preach verse 14? You skipped that part. I'd say, well, I don't like it. Well, we don't have that option, do we? And we need to understand what the Lord set forth, what our attitude ought to be, what our inclinations ought to be in the light of His Word. And understand all things in the context of Scripture as well. You know, some folks certainly do take, you know, these passages and others, I think, out of the context of all of Scripture. But we need to be careful not to explain away things we don't like either. Well, I don't say don't like, but just maybe are contrary to our inclinations or nature. So what brought me to say that? Well, I get to verse 14. It says, bless them which persecute you. Well, I don't like doing that. You know, I don't want to bless them. I want to blast them, right? Or bless them which persecute you and curse not. Well, first of all, to understand the context here, as with everything, God's sovereignty, see? This too is the hand of God. Well, these folks are the instruments of God, even if they don't understand it, even if they don't intend it, even if they believe and intend quite the contrary. You know, what's our attitudes to be? You know, an attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of, and we'll look at some details here, but these folks don't know any better. You understand that? And there, but for the grace of God, we wouldn't know any better. We're no different than they are, but by the grace of God, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so our attitude, that attitude of God's sovereignty, of understanding why other folks are, it's like they can't learn better. We can't teach them better either, like we were talking earlier. They can't learn. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 73:14, for all the day long, he says, have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. For I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. You see, again, setting things in the context where they belong, of God's sovereignty. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And Paul's going to get, you know, further on to that as well. The Lord's going to take care of things. The Lord's going to balance the books. That's not our business. Bless them, he says, which persecute you. I think the lesson we learn from Scripture, we see the example to the Lord, the apostles, is we're not to stoop to the level of our enemies. And we ought to expect that the world's going to persecute us and hate us and not like what we say. And think that we're different and odd and strange. Because to them we are. Bless them which persecute you. Bless, he says. What's that mean? We ought to pray for them. Because we don't know everything. I don't know everything. Is it not possible that one of God's elect may be in their midst? You know, those that make themselves our enemies. It's hard for us to think of that sometimes. We can think of some of those folks that oppose us. Maybe some we don't even know, but, you know, politically and something. We think, is it possible that one of God's elect could be in their midst? Well, surely not. I mean, look at those folks that were persecuting the early church. There was a fellow in there named Saul of Tarsus. He's the fellow that's writing this book. You know? We don't know. Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the Lord's church, became the Apostle Paul and wrote this letter to the saints in Rome. I mean, there's no greater example than that of Paul. We don't know that. And we can't presume to know that. We can say, well, those folks, they could never come to the truth. I guarantee you folks thought that about Paul. From what I can gather by reading the Scriptures, I guarantee you I would have thought that about Paul. The Lord said in Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then in Luke he says this, and elsewhere we see it from the Lord and others. Now we'll look at it, but in Luke 23 and verse 34, you know, as the Lord's being crucified in the midst of his passion. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many ever stopped and contemplate? They really didn't know what they were doing. A lost man doesn't know what he's doing. For they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I mean, the Lord looked down at these ignorant people dead in trespasses and sin. They don't know what they're doing. We see the example again picked up by the apostle Stephen. You know, as he was stoned to death. And Stephen was being stoned to death, there was a fellow standing over there by the name of Saul of Tarsus that was consenting unto his death. That many believe, as we read the Scriptures, that it seems to be that Paul was actually a member of the Sanhedrin, had consented to his death, had voted for his death. It's all right in this book. Stephen's being stoned to death, Acts 7 and verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. We're not to stoop to the level of our enemies. We're not to stoop to the level of those that would persecute us. I think if we look at Scriptures, and so it doesn't mean we're not to, you know, to defend our families. We're not to stand for the right. But we're not to take the mindset of our enemies. We're not to stoop to their level. The Apostle Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 3:9. not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Elsewhere in Scripture talks about it's like piling coals on their heads. You know, it's just, don't spit back what you get. Don't stoop to their level. I get ahead of myself, but there was a passage, or there was a quote I wrote down here in reference to something else I think is appropriate. You remember when, and it's appropriate, this week was General Lee's birthday and Stonewall Jackson's birthday. My granddaughter was born on Stonewall Jackson's birthday, but they wouldn't go along with giving her the middle name Stonewall. But I thought that'd been very appropriate. Abigail Stonewall Howe. Now that sounds, it's got a ring to it even. But anyway, I'll call her Stonewall every once in a while anyway, I'm sure. Oh, that's off topic. But you remember when those people invaded the South? And Lee always spoke of them as those people. He said that, you know, they delight in inflicting harm and hurt people and so forth. The time came, they thought it was necessary to, you know, bring the war to the North, and the Army of Northern Virginia crossed over into Pennsylvania. And he set forth, you know, in his orders. He said, it must be remembered that we make war only upon armed men. That is what happened when the Northern armies came to the South. And you just read the history. I'm not making this up. They said, it must be remembered that we make war only upon armed men, and we cannot take vengeance for the wrongs our people have suffered without lowering ourselves in the eyes of all whose abhorrence has been excited by the atrocities of our enemies. But more than that, he says, in offending him to whom benevolence belongeth, without whose favor and support our efforts must all prove in vain. You had to fight the enemy, and they invaded your home. But General Lee said, we're not going to resort to their methods. What they did to our homes, what they did to our families, we're not going to go up and behave that way. Because we're different. We're of a different spirit. And again, and I'm not saying, you know, that was General Lee. And I can understand that other spirit too, because that's what's natural to us, isn't it? I'm not saying the South didn't occasionally, some folks, some leaders take, you know, and give what they've been given. And I can understand that, but that's not what we're supposed to do. You know, we're of a different spirit. Bless them which persecute you. Peter again, 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Again, why is it, what would be the curse? It's really would almost be like cursing God. God is ultimately in charge. And as we get further on, we understand in the light of Romans 13 and all. Romans 13 isn't teaching us, you know, unlimited submission, you know, to a renegade government, but it is setting again in the God is in charge. Remember what earlier on we got in Romans 9? We talked, God raised up Pharaoh. Then we look at some of the things that the Hebrew children did and so forth in relation to Pharaoh. It wasn't wrong, you know, to rightly oppose Pharaoh. When Pharaoh said, I want you all to come back, say, no, we're, you know, we're going on. And he sends his army out. Well, should they just surrender? That's what they did. But it is, again, studying in context, God is sovereign. God raised up these folks. It says, bless and curse not. Again, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. For when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I mean, sometimes we say we'll call the wrath of God down on somebody. But I would tell you, if Jesus couldn't have done that, we can't. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed himself to God. You know, we talk about the attitude of prayer, that constant attitude. It's committing ourselves to God, committing ourselves to him that judges rightly. It's easy for me to say these things. It's hard for me to live. You know, I'll tell you that. It was like that brother Burton that was writing me, and he wrote me some things he wanted me to pray about and be aware of, and he just said he wanted strictest confidence. I said, well, certainly it will be. I said, well, I want you to know, you know, since I come to know you, that our folks have been praying for you, and they'll keep praying for you. And I said, you know, I'm convinced, and I don't mean this in false humility. I said, I'm convinced, you know, they're all better Christians than I am. You know, but the Lord's put us here. You know? And I said, you should take comfort that they're praying for you. And so these things are not easy, especially for me. And again, it's not that we're not to stand for the right and for the truth, or that we're to lay down and, you know, turn our families over to Pharaoh. That's those things, not what the Scriptures teach. But it does teach, keep those things in context. Commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. So why is this happening to me? Can you imagine the Lord saying something like that? Why is this happening to me? Look who I am. No. The bottom line is to commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. You know, to come to understand everything in the light of God's sovereignty. And again, it's easy to do that when I'm standing up here preaching. It's easy to do that when we're sitting at home studying, or when we're out there in the pew listening. But day to day, when it comes right then, it's not always so easy right then. Sometimes we have to forget ourselves and go back, you know, and then set it right again later. I know that. Commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. The fact of the matter is that what men may do to us, what Satan may do to us, none of them have any power over us but what God grants in his sovereignty. God grants in his omniscience, that God grants in love of his elect. Not only God grants, if that might be too weak of a term, but God ordains in his sovereignty, in his omniscience, and in his love for his elect. I just think of a couple of examples that, you know, come to mind. Old Job. That's a great Old Testament narrative that's set forth there. that old Saint Job. There's Satan having to set himself up to oppose him. Job 1 we read, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect man than an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance, and his substance is increased in the land. You know, Satan said, yeah, it's easy for him to be your servant. Things are going good. You're blessing him. His crops are bringing forth. His family's doing well. He said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. It's kind of interesting. I think Satan has a better concept. Of course he does. But Satan has a better concept than 90% of the religious people. So Satan says, put forth your hand and touch all that he hath. Satan knew that even if he was going to do anything, it was ultimately going to be God. Satan couldn't do anything. In Job 2, we read, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, for all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Of course, Satan went forth and did all that and didn't accomplish what he did. And Satan said, well, you got to let me touch his body. Let me get a hold of him. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So we commit ourselves to him that judges righteously. In the midst of that, or the Old Testament Saint Joseph. Man, he had a rough lot. Family was against him, and my brother Singh often refers to him. But God was in it all. His brothers opposed him. Sold to the slave, lied about, thrown in jail. Persecuted, by all sorts of folks. Befriended of folks that forget about him. Ultimately, he's standing there for his brethren, and God sent, and Joseph says, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth. And he was thrown in a pit. He was put in prison. Threatened with death. He said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then here's the bottom line. Was it the hate of his brothers that sold him into bondage? Was it the hate of his brothers that put him in prison? Well, yeah, they're accountable for it. They're responsible for it. They were wicked in that. They'll give account for it, but Joseph understood the greater truth. He says, so it is not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. It was not you that sent me here, it was God. Now if we can keep that perspective, then it'll teach us how to deal aright and think aright. Again, it's easy to have that perspective standing up here preaching on Sunday morning. Again, our greatest example, the Lord. John 19, I'll read in verse 6. The chief priests, therefore, the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? They always, our enemies, you know, the world will boast of its power and its strength and its might and its authority. Jesus answered, But how couldest thou have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above? Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. You know, and Pilate didn't want to get out of it, but he could. Of course, we read over in Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, whatever comes our way, when the wicked hands come, because that verse goes on, ye hath taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It's wicked hands that did it. It was oppressors. It was persecutors. But he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Commit yourself to him that judgeth righteously. Over Acts 4, verse 27, we read again, For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. All these folks gathered together against God and against his anointed. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Commit yourself to him that judges righteously. Don't stoop to the level of our enemies. You know, God raised up Pharaoh and God raised up these various tyrants. A mouthful of cursing, and we may say it's directed at them, you know, but a saint ought to really understand that such is directed at God. He's in charge. You know, we're to stand for right, we're to do right, and it may cost us, and we're to oppose evil. But to get to curse our circumstances or those that instruments that God uses is really to curse God. It's not characteristic of a child of God. Romans 3, Paul earlier told us, Romans 3, verse 10, he says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. This is all emblematic of the unregenerate. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's what the unregenerate do. They curse the world, curse their enemies, curse their circumstances. But you see, we ought to have a different perspective. We ought to understand things a little bit differently. This too is the hand of God. James writes in James 3 and verse 8, James was the half-brother of the Lord, one who didn't follow him during his earthly ministry. He came to know and embrace the truth, went on to be the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. James 3 verse 8 says this, But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. child of God, you know, ought not to be associated with the cursing of his circumstances or his enemies or what. We understand this is all from the hand of God. God raised these things up. Again, brings us back to what Peter says of the Lord, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Understand, it wasn't you to put me here. It was God. The Lord said, you don't have any power over me. It's God grants it and determines it. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, again, easy in the saying, a little more difficult in the doing. But I know it's what we're to do as, you know, as saints, as children of God. May the Lord give us grace to live our lives in the light of His sovereignty. And that's the only place there's any peace. That's the only place there's any comfort. You know, being dissatisfied with our circumstances or with our situation or with the opposition. And there's plenty of it. There's no doubt about it. There's plenty of it. But to understand that God's still working out His perfect plan, we may not understand it all. But we can trust in Him that judgeth righteously. Committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Let's take our hymnals. We'll stand and sing closing hymn this morning. Number 303. Saved by Grace Alone, 303.
Sinner's friend took my place in vengeance for me to save forevermore. Death nor hell nor world nor sin, foes without nor foes within, ever can my soul destroy. I am saved eternally.
Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art the God that You are. Lord, to be servants of such a one. Lord, more than that, to be the children of such a one. Lord, the peace to know that we can trust all safely to Your hands. Lord, that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trouble, Father, might we have the grace that our Lord had to commit ourselves to Him that judgeth righteously. Father, I pray that we might have the grace not to become that which we oppose, but Lord, to stand for truth and right, for Your principles, without compromising ourselves for Your truth. Lord, help us as we go about our daily task. Understand that all comes from your loving hand. Lord, those that oppose us, oh, it be wicked hands, do so from ignorance. And Lord, beyond that, they're only accomplishing what you ordained. Father, I thank you for each one that's here today. I thank you, Lord, for this, your little fellowship. Lord, I pray that you continue to give each of us strength to accomplish those things you would have us to. I pray you continue to give Brother Singh health, heal his lungs. Brother Howe, wisdom, guiding his family, his children as they grow. Brother Dale is being a witness before his family. Lord, I thank him in particular, just accomplishment of his daily duties. And the weather that he faces, Lord, we just thank you that your grace is sufficient. Pray you be with my wife, and I thank you, Lord, for the help and encouragement she is, and Lord, the witness before children and grandchildren. Lord, I thank you again for the blessing to this past week, and adding another to our family. And Lord, we all thank you for the families you've given us, and Lord, help us to bear in mind the accountability and responsibility that comes with that. Lord, be with Heather as she travels. Be with her brothers in the ministry. Lord, give them each strength to accomplish those things that you would have them to. Father, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for his atoning death. Thank you for your everlasting love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.